Amen. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. There's no place than the house of God. I would like to thank Pastor Jimenez for allowing me to preach tonight. It's always a privilege to preach in Verity Baptist Church. In this chapter, we see that God commanded Moses to send out men to spy out and survey the land. And when the men came back after 40 days, they brought reports to Moses and to the whole congregation. Please look at the verse in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb was very optimistic that they can defeat the inhabitants and possess the land that God has promised them. Verse 31, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature.'" Verse 33, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." The title of the sermon tonight is "The Consequences of the Wrong Fear." The consequences of the wrong fear. And we will see six timeless truths about these consequences and what it will bring us. Please keep a bookmark on Numbers chapter 13. And please turn to Psalm 139, if you would. Psalm 139. What is fear? Fear is one of the emotions experienced by everyone. Fear arises with a threat of harm, either physical or emotional or psychological, real or imagined. While traditionally considered a negative emotion, fear also serves as an important role in keeping us safe as it mobilizes us to cope with potential danger. Why do we have this kind of emotion? Psalm 139, verse 14 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." God made us with an emotion of fear, and the purpose of this is to reverently fear him as our Creator, as our God. To fear him with awe, to fear God because he is the Almighty God, Creator of all wonderful things. God created all the wonderful things, especially our physical body. From the moment of conception, that no one can create this wonderful human body with soul and spirit, but only God. Psalm 33, verse 8, you don't have to turn there. "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Please turn to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, if you would. If we're not in awe of God, we're missing the importance of our existence. There are people that will travel to remote places just to experience God's wonderful creation. There's nothing wrong going to these places and experience and witness those wonderful creations of God. But we don't need to climb the highest mountain to know how great our God is. If we pause for a moment and just think about our body, the human anatomy, how intricately our body is created, from the tiniest cell to the parts that we can see and touch, are working perfectly with each other. Take a look at your hands. For example, these hands can handle delicate and rugged things. These hands also has the abilities to create things and give comfort. Not to mention the eyes. There's no type of camera that can replicate the abilities of our eyes. the brain, our heart, and so on. This body, our body, is wonderfully made by someone to be fearfully praised. The Almighty God who has control over our bodies as the potter and we as the clay. Do we fearfully praise Him as we wake up every morning and by His grace was given another day? Our life is hanging by a thread on the hands of the Almighty God. This is the fear that God has intended for us. Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? God made us to reverently fear Him for His pleasure. Psalm 147, verse 11, and then you don't have to turn there. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. When Adam and Eve sinned, God's wonderful creation was corrupted by Satan. Pastor preached last Wednesday the Satan's purpose. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Satan's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy whatever God has created. God instituted marriage and Satan destroyed it by divorce. God created human being in conception and Satan killed it by abortion. God made us to fear Him and Satan stole it from Him. The fear and other emotions was turned away from God and men feared everything except God. Men fear and worship the creation than the Creator. We fear the famine, the falling economy, or diseases than the Creator that sends these events. We fear men than the Creator of men. Please turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, the last book of our Bible. People are sometimes offended when you ask them the question, if you die today, do you know you're on your way to heaven? They fear the word and the thought of death. Being fearful is a sin. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstones, which is the second death. We've used this verse in soul winning and never really paid attention to the first sin listed in this verse. Please turn to Matthew chapter 10. Very few will reach out to God in times of trouble or hardship. Oftentimes, people seek Him at the end when things had gone from bad to worse. And there are people that will never call upon the Lord because they don't fear God. But they are fearful on everything that's going around them. This is the wrong type of fear. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Please turn back to Numbers chapter 13. What are the consequences of the wrong fear? Number one, wrong fear diverts the direction of our faith. Numbers chapter 13, verse 31. But the man that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Please turn to Psalm 111, if you would. Psalm 111. These people can only see their own weaknesses, their own physical stature and inabilities. When there's a possibility of harm or threats, fear comes in, and fear will magnify this threat. And everything we know about God and the faith we have in God fades away. Because of fear, we don't ask God's guidance, and we take instant actions or decisions, or even say something that makes us regret later on. Godly men will ask God for counsel. Remember King Saul? Because he feared the people, he made a foolish decision and did not wait for the counsel of the prophet Samuel. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then not fearing the Lord is the beginning of foolishness. Majority of the criminals behind bars would wish that they could turn back the time and avoid those foolish things that they did. Sometimes we regret the things that happened to us because we realize we were foolish. Proverbs 15, verse 33, you don't have to turn there. It says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Wisdom comes from God, and when we fear him, but when we fear the Lord, or the world, and the things of this world, the wisdom of this world empowers our rational and logical thinking. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Who among you will say that stocking tons of toilet paper during this pandemic is wise? I didn't realize that it was an essential during survival. We laughed about it, but it's a sad reality. This obviously shows that not fearing God makes people act foolishly. A store manager said that their 8 months supply of toilet paper disappeared in 4 weeks. Some of the people that bought a huge amount of toilet papers tried to return them, and supermarkets are rejecting them. The faith and wisdom of these people are going down the drain with their toilet papers. Please turn back to Numbers chapter 13. When fear creeps in, the mind can imagine every worst thing. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. They imagined that they were this tiny bug compared to the sons of Anak. Sons of Anak may be a couple of feet taller than them, but because of their fear, they thought of them as men that are invincible. Some of you may remember the Y2K scare known as the Millennium Bug. It was feared to be the end of the world because they thought that computer programs will fail. In the 1960s and 1970s, when computer engineers work on complex computer programs, they use 2-digit codes to represent the year. The first digits were left out. For example, instead of coding 1960, they just used 60. The main reason for leaving out the first 2 digits was to save on storage space, which was too costly. Experts believe that the computer system will revert the date to January 1st, 1900, instead of January 1st, 2000. Many believe it would break the world's electronic system, the energy sector, transportation, financial sector, anything that were driven by a computer system will fail. People around the world was convinced by the Y2K bug is the end of the world. As a result of this evil report, people panic. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, if you would. Wrong fear will turn our faith farther and farther away from God and more closer to the things of this world. Our ears will tend to listen to what this world is saying and will become dull to God's words and promises. Isaiah 66, verse 4. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. God is not delighted with having the wrong fear. Please turn to Numbers chapter 14 and keep a bookmark as well on Numbers 14. Another consequence of the wrong fear is this. Wrong fear empowers us to be dissatisfied with the leaders or workers of God. In Numbers 14, verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Wrong fear can darken our thinking, and those that care about us can become an enemy. Let me read this article from the Nursing Times. Leaders of the profession have spoken out against the harassment and urged people to be kind to frontline professionals at this time of international crisis. Susan Masters, Director of Nursing Policy and Practice at the Royal College of Nursing, revealed on social media that community nurses were being heckled by members of the public worried about COVID-19. She wrote on Twitter, I am speaking up for nurses and nursing in every possible setting. Today, I hear from community nurses that they are being heckled at and verbally abused in the street and called disease spreaders. This is abhorrent behavior. It must stop. Ms. Master also called on nurses across sectors to raise awareness of this issue and call out vile behavior. She added, nurses are running towards the fire to provide the care the communities need. Responding to the reports, Chief Executive of Queen's Nursing Institute, Dr. Crystal Oldman, said, nurses who work in the community are utilizing all the necessary precautions as they always do and are trained to do measures to prevent any cross-infection and maintain the health and well-being of the patients. Meanwhile, England's chief nursing officer, Ruth May, has also raised concern about the issue. Speaking on BBC Breakfast this morning, Ms. May said, I've seen all over Twitter some of our nurses and midwives and care staff being spat at and being abused by members of the public. Please be very kind to your nurses and midwives because you may need them very soon. The intervention from nursing leaders follow reports across the UK of verbal and physical abuse against people presumed to be spreading the virus. People that care much are the ones that are being rejected and despised more. People that are fearful often think about themselves. The children of Israel were overshadowed by fear. As a result, they became dissatisfied with their leaders and murmured against Moses and Aaron for their presumed death in the wilderness. And this came out of their mouth in verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. These people never thought of the sacrifices of Moses and Aaron. They never crossed in their mind that Moses pleaded for their lives before God. Pastor, deacons, workers of the church, soul winners, missionaries are in the front lines for the work of God. And there are people that will never cross their mind that these people sacrifice their time, their finances, their lives, and families for the ministry. When we came back from the mission trip in the Philippines, there are people that felt the same way towards us. There are people that kept a distance from us and presumed that we might be carrying and spreading the virus. I don't blame them for being cautious. Overly cautious is fear when we sheltered ourselves within the boundaries of our home and denies the ordinance of God to be in the church. Many Christians that love to be in a comfort zone will never experience God's protection in times of crisis or tribulation. I'm not saying that we should act foolishly and without common sense and test God. But if the doors of the church building is open, whatever circumstances, it is God's ordinance for us to be in the church. And when you're sincere, willing to go out of the comfort zone, you will know that God is with you. And His protection comforts you even in the midst of a crisis. Psalm 23, verse 4, you don't have to turn there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Don't put your trust in a house that is made of pieces of sheet rocks and 2x6 wood studs. Put your trust in God. Then you will experience Psalm 23. The children of Israel doesn't want to step outside their comfort zone, but instead murmured against Moses and Aaron. As a result, God was displeased with them. As a church members, we should always be an encouragement for our leaders and workers because they were the one that accepted the commission given by God. The truth is, preaching the gospel is commanded to all of us, not just the leaders or workers of the church. We should step out of our comfort zone before God is displeased with us. If we are healthy and able to talk and walk for hours, but we prefer to be in the comfort of our home relaxing, God may give us what we may desire and take away our health and might end up spending the rest of our life sheltered in our house. God is long-suffering. But long doesn't mean it's eternal or everlasting. Long means there's an end to His patience. We will see this later, how God was displeased with the children of Israel and gave them what they feared the most. Moses and Aaron were commanded and appointed by God for an important assignment for the benefit of the children of Israel, and yet they are dissatisfied and murmured against Him. The wrong fear can influence us to be a discouragement for our leaders and other people, just like the children of Israel. Another consequence of the wrong fear that we can learn from this story is wrong fear drives us towards disobedience. After the congregation murmured against Moses and Aaron, Joshua and Caleb tried to motivate the congregation. In Numbers 14, verse 7, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. These people were told and commanded not to rebel and not to fear the inhabitants of the land. Sometimes fear is the key to motivate us or drives us to obey or disobey. The fear of hell motivated people to obey the Bible by placing their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it that when we fear to lose our job, we tend to work harder and harder and obey whatever the boss tells us? When we fear to get a speeding ticket, we abide by the speed limits. When you ask your children to do something and they do it right away because they fear your spanking. But sometimes when you ask them to throw the garbage outside the house and it's dark, they won't do it. There are kids that they won't do it. They're scared of the dark. Why? Because they fear darkness rather than your spanking. The thoughts of the most scariest thing is holding them back to obey a command. In Numbers 14, verse 3, "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" Facing the giant is an act of suicide for them. The fear of the enemy drove the children of Israel to rebel and disobey God. They feared the enemy than God, and they presume the outcome of this battle. The children of Israel already made up their mind that they will die in the hands of the enemy. Not even a motivational speech from Caleb and Joshua can drive these people to move forward and fight. Wrong fear led to disobedience and hindered the rewards and benefits that God has promised them, and that disobedience led them to their death in the hands of God. They think God will always be patient with them and it's okay not to fear his anger. Another consequence of the wrong fear provokes God to anger. In Numbers 14, verse 22, "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it." Skip to verse 27. "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me." Let's be reminded of this, that whenever we complain against God. When we complain about the food or maybe the weather, our physical appearance, or anything we complain about, we're complaining against God. Verse 28, "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness." The children of Israel have seen great signs and wonders in Egypt. They witnessed how God destroyed the armies of Pharaoh in the Red Sea. Now that they are so close to the promised land, and all they have to do is finish one last task and to fight the inhabitants of the land, and God promised them that he will give them the victory, but because of fear, everyone gave up and began to murmur and complain, which provoked God to anger. The 40 years could have been a prosperous life in the promised land, but instead they missed God's blessings. There are times in our lives that we could have received the blessings and sometimes tasted God's blessing, but because we provoke God to anger, we've completely lost that blessing. Our life would have been different. We could have avoided the misfortune if we only took one more step and trusted God. One more step in facing the giants, we could have reached and received the blessings that God has intended for us. There are things that we regret, and if only we could bring back the time and made the right decision and action, we could have made God pleased with us and reaped that blessing. But once God is disappointed, misfortune will come. Blessings are hindered. For the children of Israel, they experienced God's anger by letting them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. All the people that were 20 years old and above, except Caleb and Joshua, perished under God's wrath. What a tragedy. Pastor preached last Wednesday that we are in a spiritual battle whether we like it or not. So it is wise to fight the battle than disobeying him and reap his anger. Please turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Some may ask, how come the inhabitants of Nineveh were spared of God's judgment? Because they feared the judgment and they obeyed God, even though they never fully knew him. The children of Israel knew God. They've experienced and witnessed the greatness of God. God's prophets were always with them, telling them the things that are pleasing to God and the things that God hates. They experienced the presence of God and seen the pillar of clouds and fire. They knew God's commandments, instructions, whom to fear, and yet they hardened their hearts towards God. Luke chapter 12, verse 48 says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. If you compare this church, Verity Baptist Church, from other churches here in Sacramento, we know and we can attest to this fact that this church has been given much, packed with heavy doses of biblical preaching. And because of this, of him shall be much required. Similar in our work settings. If the company provides resources, trainings, continued education, much of you is required as well. Please turn back to Numbers chapter 13, if you would. Numbers chapter 13. Another consequence of the wrong fear is, wrong fear promotes discouragement to those that are close to us. Wrong fear promotes discouragement to those that are close to us. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Here Caleb is trying to motivate the people. Spirit-filled men are people where you can receive encouragement. They can see things way beyond an obstacles. They can visualize the outcome. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. You see the contrast of this man? Caleb said, for we are well able to overcome it. And this man, we be not able to go up against the people. These types of people can also be found in churches. There are people that can encourage, and there are also who can discourage you. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Please turn to Numbers chapter 14, the next chapter. The 10 men that were with Caleb were fearful. They can only see what's in front of them. And whatever obstacles they face, they magnified it. Have you been with someone who complains a lot and doesn't even try to find a solution? These kind of people will make the problem, the obstacles, bigger and bigger. In a group setting, they'll often try to encourage others to join them in complaining and murmuring. There are people that instigate others to do the wrong things. Have you seen the protests and riots recently? Same thing. There are instigators for those riots. Numbers 14, verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? The children of Israel were discouraged by the evil report they've heard. Moses and Aaron, Caleb and Joshua are facing a huge protest. The 10 men were fearful and they were able to discourage the whole congregation. Their fear spread like a virus to all the people. The children of Israel never seen the inhabitants of the land, and yet they've already made up their mind that it's hopeless to fight. It's a suicide mission. It's beyond their comfort zone. They put their trust on the words of these men, but not on the words and promises of God. People that magnifies an obstacle can bring discouragement to the people that are around them. And sometimes we can be this person. And God will take away this type of people from the congregation. Skip to verse 36. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. What is a slander? A false, damaging statement. Verse 37, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. People often exaggerate the obstacles so that there's an excuse for the failures. Wrong fear will give us a negative effect in our life and the lives of the people that are close to us. Please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The COVID-19 pandemic began before the mission trip. Early February, flights are being banned to enter a country, and a big number of missionaries weren't able to go because of canceled flights. During this time, panic is starting to increase around the world. And many shared their concern and shared some opinions and information about COVID-19 statistics, numbers of cases and deaths. Those reports could be true or not. But one thing we know is God's words and His commandments are true. Whether circumstances change, His words doesn't change. His commission is still in full effect. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. To edify is defined as to instruct someone in a way that enlightens them or uplifts them morally, spiritually, or intellectually. Please turn to Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9, if you would. The Bible says there is no new thing under the sun. Reports can spark fear back then, and it can still spark fear today. Oftentimes in crisis, troubles, or hardships are the things we speak of rather than who God is and what He can do. King David wrote majority of the book of Psalms and understood the wondrous works and love of God. He knew God was his refuge from trouble and struggles in life. He knew that he was the apple of God's eye. Despite all his sins and shortcomings, David was a man after God's own heart. King David speaks all the time about God. Psalm chapter 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Please turn to Psalm chapter 22, a few chapters ahead. Psalm 22. The book of Psalms, I would say, is like a love letter to God. To the man in this room, do you remember when you were after your wife's heart? Your ultimate goal in life was to make her say yes. Maybe some of you wrote love letters. I don't know if love letters or love notes are still a thing today. Back then, it's a form of expression of love and admiration towards a woman that a man desires. Men would express the love and admiration in the form of a letter. Maybe you've talked about her to your parents or friends about her qualities and the things you love about her. The book of Psalms is simply David's love letter or love notes towards God. David is a remarkable man, the only character in the Bible with the title, A Man After God's Own Heart. Psalm 22, verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. When was the last time we declared or mentioned God's name in our conversation with our brethren? We rarely apply this psalm into our life. We rarely declare His name, His wondrous works in our lives. But rather, we often declare the obstacles, the statistics of the giants. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is a famous battle of David and Goliath. David is face-to-face with Goliath and declaring the name of the Lord before his enemy and the armies of Israel. He never mentioned or cared anything about Goliath's fighting skills or his fighting track records, which is contrary to King Saul and his brothers. We are to declare God's name in any circumstances or obstacles we face. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battles is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Please turn to Psalm chapter 20. Psalm 20. The name of the Lord has power to protect and defend us. His name has the power to save us. Psalm 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend thee. Verse 5, skip to verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In Acts 4, verse 12, you don't have to turn there. It says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My name, your name cannot save our soul. There is only one powerful name that can do that, and yet we seldom declare it. Another consequence is wrong fear hinders the blessings of God. Please turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. The plans and work of God will be done. There's nothing that can stop it. His promise is to bring the children of Israel to the land flowing with milk and honey. It is an assured promise. Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. And I come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Let's turn back to Numbers 14. This is God's promise to the children of Israel. And this promise took additional 40 years because of their fear, complaining, and disobedience, which provoked God to anger. Numbers chapter 14, verse 22. But all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now this 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear the whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Verse 34, after the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities for even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. The promised land was taken away from that generation because of the wrong fear and disobedience, and the promises of God was given to the next generation. These consequences of fear can happen in our lives. Wrong fear diverts the direction of our faith. Wrong fear empowers us to be dissatisfied with our leaders and or workers of God. Wrong fear drives us towards disobedience. Wrong fear provokes God to anger. Wrong fear promotes discouragement for those that are close to us. Wrong fear hinders the blessings of God. Please turn to Psalm 115. This book is full of good and bad experiences. Through this book, we can learn from the experiences of other people in their relationship with God. And we can avoid these consequences from happening. In the aspects of fear, we need to put fear back in the right place. Psalm 115, verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to preach. And I thank you, Lord, for your blessings and for this church, Lord, for giving us this message. And help us, Lord, to be to fear you in all things and to put you above all things, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Bless us, bless this church always, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.